But I'd like to announce that Steve Ray is in the house, ladies and gentlemen.
Not quite as good a story as yours.
Wait. I don't believe that Steve's microphone is on.
Good job.
That's too high tech for a Mac person.
We never know which of those buttons work. You're supposed to be the guy producing us. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Let me predict
that Steve is going to have mic trouble for the whole show.
I was told 4:30. I'm here 15 minutes early.
That's exactly right.
Now I was teaching the cider class.
Wait a minute.
I had to leave them in the capable hands
of
Rufo.
Your note said 3:30, 4 o'clock.
Did it not?
Yes, it did. And I think, but the thing said 4:30, and I figured, you know what, 4 o'clock can be early enough.
Well, I knew
that's the one I got from Jeff.
Right. I was on the phone. I didn't rush, and then we left. I never turned on the radio again. But anyway, here we are, and we're going to go to the phones at 222-1180 if you're in the 585 area code. 295-1180 is a free 800 call on the Choice One toll-free line. And if you're a Verizon Wireless customer, why, you just whip out that cell phone and punch in *1180. In the meantime, we're going to go to those people who've been waiting on the phone patiently, starting with Jerry in Penyan, New York. Welcome, Jerry. What's your question?
My God, I'm first.
Unbelievable. You don't have to be first if you don't want to be.
That's okay. My son gave us a granddaughter. And he has, well, his wife did.
I was going to say, I'd like to meet him.
And he has a web page, and they post pictures of the little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And you should be able to click on the pictures and enlarge them. Everyone else can do that, but I can't. And I'm running Windows XP. When I put the cursor over the picture, I see the thing, you know, the hand that says, yes, you should be able to do something with it. I click it and nothing happens.
Do you by any chance have one of those anti-pop-up programs?
You have one, but when I have it disabled.
Yeah, but I think what you need to do is start without it.
Yes.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and you might want to try, just for grins and giggles, try running a different browser program.
You're running IE?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You might want to try Mozilla. That's fantastic. I'm loving Mozilla.
I love it. You can get it at www.mozilla.org. That's Mozilla. It's free. It's fast. It's phenomenal. It is a full-featured, free, fast, full-featured, phenomenal.
Probably.
I couldn't think of another F word that was clean. And phenomenal is not really an F word.
Fantastic.
Fantastic.
Oh!
And what about,
phenomenal.
What about using the mail program that comes with Internet Explorer?
Avoid it at all costs.
Okay.
Yeah, Express. Yeah. Yeah. You can use that still if you want to, but I believe Steve is correct. We're not. We are not fans of it, but that's okay.
No, I'm Dave.
It's not a bad program.
Yeah, he's Dave.
I'm Dave, and I don't like the.
What did I say?
You said Steve.
We're interchangeable.
No, I prefer folks not use Outlook Express only from the standpoint that 99% of the viruses being spread are counting on folks using Outlook Express. Because what most of them do is they get into your machine, they'll turn around in the background and pass this virus out, you know, through all your people on your email list.
What do you recommend?
You could use right within Mozilla. It's got a built-in email program.
Which is a very nice one.
You can put in great filters to filter out stuff and a lot more control.
Well, Mozilla and just about everything else you might use, you want to take a close look through all of the options and start picking ones that make sense. Turning off JavaScript in your mail, turning off HTML in your mail. Things that are the things that generally give you the viruses.
Mm-hmm.
Outlook Express is fine if you go through it and lock it up tight, and the same is true of any of them.
And keep your antivirus program definitely up to date.
Exactly.
Which I do.
Okay, good. Listen, we have to go. We have to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, our producer, and me, Nick Francesco, on the universe's greatest and sooner than you might think radio show, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Got a problem with my neighbor. They were walking their dog.
and ran into my yard and it attacked one of our chickens. And these are our companion chickens. These are our pets.
You can cuddle with a chicken? I didn't know this.
Oh, yeah. You can get good loving with a chicken.
You're kidding.
Chickens are fabulous pets.
All right.
I come home. Gladys is dead. It was the same lady. Came back with her dog. She just handed me the chicken. I asked her what happened. She said it was her dog.
What do you mean handed you the chicken? Where was your chicken when it got attacked?
It was in my flower garden.
You know for a fact that your chickens never walk off your property?
Absolutely know for a fact.
How do you know where a chicken's been?
These are Polish chickens.
What does a Polish chicken have to do with staying in your side of the property line?
Polish chickens don't stray far from their house. It's one of
okay, don't stray far still means they stray. You don't have your chickens contained, and you don't have a fence on your property line. You need to be more responsible with your chickens. You live in that kind of area. I appreciate your affection for your chickens. Well, I eat a lot of them, so I have a lot of affection for chickens.
Dr. Laura, weekdays 9 to 11 on Wham!
Hello?
A lot of people.
I just won $1,000.
That's terrific!
Oh, my God.
Are winning a lot of money.
Did I win?
With Talkin' Cash.
Oh, all right.
You kidding me?
You could be next.
Cash.
Be one of the first 25 nationwide callers when you hear the cue to call. Brought to you by Wilson Farms and Sugar Creek Stores, home of Giovanna Coffee.
And I just won $1,000.
Oh,
no way.
From the station with money to burn.
Oh,
I just won $5,000
in cash.
News Radio 1180.
Oh, yes. This is awesome.
WHAM, Rochester's number one radio station, is News Radio 1180 WHAM. This is where you get reliable, dependable news, weather, traffic, and sports, mixed with the best talk in town, with Beth and Chet and the Wham Morning News. Dr. Laura, Bob Lonsberry, Paul Harvey, Rush Limbaugh, the Wham 5 o'clock News Hour, Bob Matthews and Michael Savage. Make no mistake, Rochester's news leader is News Radio 1180 WHAM. 50,000 watts. Huh. I wonder how many gigabytes that would translate to. Welcome back to Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Here's Nick Francesco.
You know, every week he's right about that. I am Nick Francesco.
And I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Sound Bites, coming to you from high atop. Well, all right, not that high atop, really.
We're only in the second floor.
Nestled in the heart of the Euclid Building in lovely downtown Rochester, New York. And we are going out to Springwater, New York to talk to Jim. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
Hi, I'm running Windows 98 SE, and I occasionally have a boot-up problem. It goes through the boot sequence. When it starts to load the sys tray, it just stops. I do a Control-Alt-Delete, and it tells me message served 32EXE not responding. I click it. I click close. Boots the. Then it finishes its booting. I looked on the Microsoft website, and the only help they were is they told me to remove the Palm Cradle, which I don't have.
That is the message server, the Microsoft message server.
It handles intercommunications between many different programs inside of Windows.
It's kind of unique. It does with
when it says,
Outlook Express.
Right, and you're using Windows 98, right?
98 SE and Mozilla.
Right. And it's not doing a dial-up. Is it trying to dial up, or is this just during boot?
Just during boot. Well, when Windows is booting up, yeah.
All right, what antivirus software are you using?
I have Symantec.
And that's up to date?
Yep. I have the subscription to it.
All right, and if you look at it, it's got your DAT files are only maybe 3 or 4 days old.
Right. I have it set to automatically update.
Yeah, but you know what?
And I go once a week. I go through and I do the manual.
Okay, good.
To make sure
you want to check your dates and make sure the automatic is working.
Yeah.
In addition, every once in a while it pops up a little window that says, you are now up to date.
Good.
Yeah. In addition, I would reboot up in safe mode.
Mm-hmm.
And open up the device manager. Do you know where that is?
Uh-huh.
Okay. See if you've got any yellow exclamation marks, because one of the things a message serve 32 does is mediate plug-and-play devices.
Mm.
It may be that you're starting something in your system tray
that's been damaged.
That looks for a plug-and-play device.
Okay. But it doesn't do it all the time.
That device may not be active.
What is your internet connection?
Roadrunner DSL?
Dial-up.
No, it's a dial-up. Dial-up. We don't have anything like DSL out here. I'm running a courier modem, everything modem.
So it's possible it could be something dealing with the modem.
One thing,
the modem's not always running.
Start with the device manager, because it could also be a USB problem. What have you got plugged into the USB port?
Scanner.
Yeah.
Could be trying to talk to the scanner.
Exactly, because what you've got is almost always these things load in the system tray a sort of a checker that keeps checking to see if you're trying to scan something.
Uh-huh.
So try uninstalling the scanner for a couple of days and see if the problem goes away.
Well, one way he might be able to get around it and not have to do that.
This happens about once every 2 weeks.
All right.
It's nothing that's drastic. It's nothing I can't live with if I have to. I was just curious what was causing it.
Jim, one thing you might want to check, another place to look to hunt around for, like you say, this is happening to the things that are getting thrown into the sys tray.
Uh-huh.
What you can do is if you go to start, run, and type msconfig.
Right.
The very last tab is startup.
Right, I've been there.
All right, what you can do is try unchecking a few of those items, like one that might reference a scanner.
Okay.
Or some of these other things that you see down in the tray, like Real Player and all those. Just uncheck them. It doesn't get rid of them, but it'll at least stop them from loading during boot up.
And especially if you have duplicate items in there. Quite often programs install themselves three or four times, and they try to load three or four times.
Yep.
So that might be another thing to look at to try out, and then you can turn on and turn off. Just make a list of the ones that you turn off, and then you can turn them back on and see if that resolves the issue.
Okay.
All right.
One other quick question.
Go ahead.
Go
okay.
for it.
When on my email, when I scroll through my email, I usually use the up and down arrow keys to scroll.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
About every third or fourth email, they stop working. All I have to do is double-click on the email and open it up in a new window, close the window again, and then the keys work again.
What is your mail program?
I'm using the one from Mozilla.
And do you have the preview pane on?
The what?
Preview pane.
Preview. In other words, if you're scrolling down the list, is there a window in the bottom that lets you see the email?
Yes.
It may be that the thing is simply hesitating while it loads pictures and attachments and...
Or that previous email that you were still trying to look at, or it was still trying to load. Well, you're moving on to the next scrolling down.
Right.
And then the other issue is the arrow keys will scroll you up and down in the list, and if you click the preview window, it scrolls you up and down in the message.
Right.
So
I've tried single clicking, double clicking. It won't. The only way I can get the arrow keys to start working again, I let it sit there for a couple minutes, and the only way I can get it to work again is, like I said, go up, double click on the email, on the top half of the screen where it just lists the emails.
Right.
Double click on there and it opens up in its own window.
Right.
Then it'll scroll in that window. I close that window and then
I think it's still a
timing
issue.
Are you using Mozilla 1.0 or 1.01?
1.1.
I think it still might be a timing issue of that opening up that email, especially some of these emails that you get, junk ones, that have so much graphics and everything else.
Try running without the preview window for a while and see what happens.
Okay.
Give it a shot.
And let us know.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Our next caller, Roger from Rochester. Welcome, Roger. What's your question? Roger, are you there? Roger is gone, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh.
I'm sure he'll be back at some future point. But Mike from Rochester, I hope, is on the line. Mike, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Excellent.
I got this is probably an old question because I remember you talking about it a few weeks ago. The Windows XP firewall, how do you shut that off?
If you go into your network connections and you right-click on that, you click properties, the last tab over is, I believe, advanced, and you can in there, it will list the firewall.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Yeah, and thanks for the update for the XP one, patch 1.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
You
have
too.
Fun.
Have a good one.
Our next caller, Gary from Greece. Welcome, Gary. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm having a problem with my daughter's CD-ROM. It runs okay for everything except when I put in a disk that should have an auto-run component. That is, it'll start up all by itself.
Right.
She's got an IBM P3500 running Windows 98 SE, and I was loading a bunch of her game and tutorial programs. And at first, as I was going through them, they were loading fine, and Auto Run was working.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point, I don't know after which program it was, Auto Run wasn't working anymore. If I click on a desktop icon or use Run, the programs will start. So I know that the CD-ROM is working. It's just that the Auto Run feature won't work anymore.
Sounds like it got turned off.
And I forget where that...
If I go to Properties and Device Manager,
right,
and look at the properties of the CD-ROM, mm-hmm,
right,
let's see, Settings, Options, Disconnect is checked, and Auto Insert Notification is checked.
Yeah, but now there's another place.
It's another setting somewhere to enable and disable Auto Run.
See, yeah. I'm not running 98SE, but I always thought it was...
That Auto Run is a way for viruses to attack as well, because you stick a CD that has a virus set in the Auto Run, so some systems are shutting off Auto Run, and some people shut it off once they find that out. But it's hiding in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Nick is...
Hold on. I always thought you did it just by typing, just by right-clicking on the CD itself in my computer. And that it was one of the choices one of those tabs. But I don't have a 98 CD. We have one here.
Yeah, normally...
Normally
when you click on the icon for the CD, it executes the Auto Run function. If you want to open the CD without executing Auto Run, then you right-click and choose Open instead of Autoplay.
Is it under Properties on that, Nick?
No.
It's been so long. I mean... Oh, darn.
We'll have to dig around and
tell you what. Give us a day or so, and we'll try to see what we can dig up on this. Or if we come across it in between one of the breaks, stay tuned, and we'll see if we can get an answer for you. Okay.
Okay. Great.
All right. Take
Thanks
it easy.
Very much.
All right. Well, we got to take a quick break here, so hang on to the lines if you're on, and I think we still got a couple lines open. So call us on up.
Testing. Testing. 1, 2. You're on the air! And you're making radio waves. Compare radio now and then in Strong Museum's new radio studio. Produce your own show using classic radio sound effects. Go on a news assignment, tape an interview, act out a radio drama, and much, much more. Make waves, radio waves, at Strong Museum's new radio studio. Sponsored in part by News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get all the details online at our website, wham1180.com.
How would you like to eat a guiltless Thanksgiving dinner? How about doing a 10K run Thanksgiving morning? Then you can go home and stuff yourself with turkey and not feel guilty. Join Wham for the 12th annual Race for Grace to benefit the Huntington Disease Society of America. The race takes place on Thanksgiving morning, Thursday, November 28th, starting at 9 a.m. The race kicks off at First Bible Baptist Church. Call 288-0888 for registration information. The Race for Grace, Thanksgiving morning at First Bible Baptist Church, 1039 North Reese Road, sponsored in part by News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Just 2 hours ago, Allied Air Forces began an attack on military targets in Iraq and Kuwait.
We were there for you then.
The skies over Baghdad have been illuminated.
And we're here for you now.
We have every reason to assume the worst, and we have an urgent duty to prevent the worst from occurring.
Bringing you in-depth team coverage of the events in Iraq.
We are now in Iraq.
When news breaks out,
we want to send them a message.
We break in.
We cannot wait for the final proof.
News Radio 1180.
It could come in the form of a mushroom cloud.
WHAM. He's Bob Lonsberry, and this is his town.
We got to globalization of the world. No, we don't. We have the United States of friggin' America. That's the way it is. As soon as you sell that out, you can just kiss your freedoms goodbye. Well, but the Constitution is old, Bob. Yeah, it still works, buddy. You know comic books, the X-Men? Well, if we can play the letter game to the terrorists and their supporters, let me just say F them!
Bob Lonsberry, weekdays, 11 till 2 on News Radio 1180 WHAM. This is Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. From PCs to Macs, these guys can help with any computer question you may have. So call the boys now at 222-1180, the Choice 1 toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or star 1180. A free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, once again, here's Nick Francesco.
I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Rob Linton.
Steve Ray has disappeared into the ether somewhere, but we're taking your calls.
He's down using the little boys room.
Yeah, well, sure. Couldn't hold it for a whole another 2 hours.
You just say that.
Yeah. I cut too much information. Our next caller is Roger.
TMI?
From Rochester. Roger, welcome. What's your question?
Hi, I'm sorry, I got cut off the last time somehow.
That's okay. These things happen.
Okay, anyway, I have a problem, or I don't know if it's a problem, but maybe a little confusion about Microsoft Office document imaging.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there any way that I can continue scanning documents and keep inserting them into what I was doing last? In other words, let's say I'm working on a doc. We'll call it Doc 1.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now I want to take a break and do something else. Is there a way I can continue working on that same document and still shut it down and go back to it and everything is still inserted in order? Because I have a real problem doing that, and I use the insert command on the file menu, but it wants to make a whole separate file.
You should just be able to open
it. God, it gets to be a terrible, confusing mess.
Yeah, I can imagine. So when you are running Word and you go to insert a picture, it tries to make a whole new document?
It's what it does.
With the one document already open?
With one already opened, yeah. I mean, that's about as stupid as starting to write you a letter and then tomorrow it puts it on a separate file.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it's doing. And it says there's a command on the file menu, and it says insert document. I do that, and then it wants me to name what the hell I'm already what I'm doing when I wanted it in just, why do I need three and four different files?
Are you sure it's not just asking you what file to insert?
It tells me to click what I wanted to insert, mm-hmm. but then it wants me to name that one. And it names it itself. It calls it either a number or scan one or scan two or some damn thing like that. And then,
okay,
okay.
What you're trying to insert are scanned documents?
Yeah.
Mm.
That are still images.
They're already scanned.
Scanned and saved.
Yeah.
But are they saved as images or as Word documents?
They're saved as images.
Okay, then you either have to use insert image, insert picture, or once you've scanned them, you want to run OCR software, optical character recognition, which turns the picture into real text.
Yeah. Okay, well, I have that on because it already has that, and I set it up that way.
Okay, but here's the deal: if the extension on the file is not DOC, it's not a document.
It just there's no extension on it. It just says Microsoft Office document. That's what it says.
Well, it's hiding the extension for you,
right?
So it. Do you want to insert a picture? Or is your text?
No, just scan. What I want to do is, like, if I'm scanning a bunch of papers today, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want to scan some more this evening, and I want to continue where I left off in that same document.
Yeah, you should just be able to open that document and keep going.
I know.
Inserting.
That's what I thought I should be able to do.
What version of Word?
2002. The latest one.
Yeah, that's what I have here. I just tried it. It worked fine. But now you're saying that it says Microsoft Office document or Microsoft Word document?
This is, well, the there's no extension on the...
I know, but the little gray text underneath it. What version of Windows are you running?
XP.
Right. So if you look at the file itself on the hard drive, right, if you open up... my computer and then the C drive and then wherever you put these files.
Yeah.
And you look at it, it'll have a name and underneath it in gray it'll say Microsoft Word document and then a size.
Only if you turn on those details.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he should also be able to right-click on that document and say properties, and it'll tell him whether it's in being saved as an image or if it's actually a doc.
Right. If you right-click on one of those files.
All it says is type Microsoft Office document imaging file.
Yep.
Yeah, it's an imaging.
Yeah, and that's apparently where your problem is. It's being saved as an image, not as text. It is a picture, not text.
Okay.
So you can, in other words, when you insert that, once you get it into that document, you cannot do anything to that inserted image. You will not be able to edit it, change it, or do anything.
Okay. All right. I understand that. But there is a way you can continue inserting. You know, it's just like if you start a photo album, you can still have, let's say, you have a photo album of my son, okay?
Right. You should still be able to insert them as images, yes.
You can continue in that file.
Right.
When you open that file again to work on it and work on it again later, you have to move the insertion point to the end of the file to continue where you left off. It may be that the insertion point is still at the beginning of the file. So what
you're reopening.
What you're inserting is going in front and not at the end.
I tried it both ways. And one time I was successful, and what it did is it took the scan material I was just working on, and it took all the other files and put it into that one. So what I had to do is rename it.
Right.
And then I had to delete the other one.
Well, here's a bigger question. Why are you putting scans into Word?
Well, because I like the document imaging. It's real nice because I can blow up the pictures or blow up the scan
but
material.
But Word is designed for typing. There are better programs for dealing with images and creating image libraries.
I know, but Word, you know, it's all part of Microsoft Office tools.
And they think they know better, and in most cases they're wrong.
Okay, well, my scanner is Hewlett-Packard.
It probably came with its own imaging program and library program.
But it doesn't. I don't like it as good as I like Microsoft Office. Believe it or not, it doesn't. It doesn't keep things quite the way you know. I really like the way Microsoft Office sets it up. It's just that I was trying to, continue.
Right. And Nick is trying it on his machine, and every time he tries it, it works fine.
Yeah,
so there's something else wrong in your computer.
Yeah,
that's
something
preventing
else
that.
Is setting
but the problem is, even if it's a setting in options, it should work that way all the time.
Yeah.
Whether you're inserting and then it says make a new document, or whether you're inserting and it says put it in the same document, it should work the same way all the time. Why it works half the time and then doesn't work the other half of the
that's
time,
not
I don't
right.
know. When you reopen this document, do you get a warning message that says this document is read-only?
No. No.
That was my only other.
No.
Oops.
We're getting stumped more than usual. I don't like this.
Well, how about not closing the document, just minimizing it, and then when you're ready, maximize
it
again.
Well, yeah, I know, but, you know, like...
There's a workaround.
If I scan 30 pages, sometimes you just get tired and you want to go and you want to shut down for a while.
Yeah.
I mean,
But that didn't
and then
do...
maybe continue later on, or tomorrow, or next week.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's another one we're going to have to dig into. It works fine
How
for us.
Big do these documents get?
Well, the last one I did was about 200 pages. And I was successful, but believe me, what I had to do
when you start adding
was
that many pages.
I had to delete one of the files because it set up two files. It set up the original one, and then what it did is it copied the last part of it to the first one, or vice versa. I forgot which way it was. But anyway, I managed to get everything into one, and I was so damn glad. The one that all I did was just renamed it.
Right.
And then deleted the other one.
Right. What it sounds like, actually, is you may be reaching some sort of file limit. I'm going to look that up during the break. But we have to take a break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Jane Goodall, folks, looky here. She said, quote, people are pretty fed up with the Western world and its greed. Jane Goodall, the primate expert, will swing into the new Detroit Science Center for the premiere of Jane Goodall's Wild Chimpanzees. Tickets are $100 and $150 with a signed book. What is this talk from Jane Goodall about Western greed when she's charging $100 for people to see her monkey movie and $150 to see the monkey movie and an autographed book? All you got to do is go rent Tarzan or get off your duff, pick up a backpack, and head to your own zoo. What do you need some Jane Goodall person ripping America at the same time she's explaining to you about the wonders of monkeys? If she's some kind of so-called expert. Yeah, she sleeps with them. There's probably a reason for that. It's all founded in, well, you take it where you can get it.
Rush Limbaugh, weekdays 2 till 5 on Wham.
See Hollywood's best releases at the Regal Cinema at Culver Ridge 16. Now offering the Crown Club Loyalty Program. Free membership, fast registration. Earn free movies and concession items just for seeing your favorite films. Stop down today and sign up to win 4 passes per month for an entire year. Courtesy of WHAM, 16 screens, stadium seating, and amazing digital sound in select theaters. Senior specials, Super Saver discount tickets. Catch all the new releases at the Regal Cinema at Culver Ridge 16. See you at the movies.
Car repair doesn't have to be intimidating.
Hesitate in doing like 35 miles an hour.
In fact, it can be downright fun.
One of the things you might want to try if it's hesitating, throw the thing into reverse right away.
Okay.
And it takes the transmission.
All right. Now, do I warn the guy behind me or no?
No, because chances are we're going to get him as a customer.
The Wham Car Show with Tony and Steve Safai.
They will have all these people throwing their car in reverse at 30 miles an hour now.
Saturday mornings at 10 on Wham.
Hello?
A lot of people.
I just won $1,000.
That's terrific.
Oh, my God.
Are winning a lot of money.
Did I win?
With talking cash.
Oh, all right.
You're kidding me.
You could be next.
Cash.
Be one of the first 25 nationwide callers when you hear the cue to call. Brought to you by Wilson Farms and Sugar Creek Stores, home of Giovanna Coffee.
And I just won $1,000.
Oh, my God.
No way.
From the station with money to burn.
Oh,
I just won $5,000
in cash.
News Radio 1180.
Oh, yes. This is awesome.
WHAM. Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve is here every Saturday from 12:20 till 2 to answer any and all computer and computer-related questions. Now, back to Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And it does not appear that there is a file size limit.
I say, if he checks the internet, he can find some other programs that he could probably find shareware that he could try out that are far more efficient than using Microsoft Word. I understand that he likes, you know, he's used to that, and sometimes, you know, folks just don't like to try or change.
I've had Word slow down when you start putting a lot of pictures into it, but I've never run into a limit.
No.
Yeah, I'm not sure there is one.
But
that's not an argument going to win. People want to use the programs the way they want
to use them. But XP, just within a folder, you can sit there and say, show me a thumbnail, and it'll show all the photos, and you can organize them within folders.
Right, this, I wonder. He's not talking about, he's got documents, he's got pictures of documents he wants in a single Word document.
I wonder if the office service back
save him as an OCR.
The problem is that whatever he's doing, somebody needs to be there to see.
Yes.
That's the problem.
Well, the other thing is he said he was using OCR, but he's not saving it as a doc. He's still saving it as an image, and it might go in a little bit easier or better.
Well, he'll certainly save a lot of disk space if he does it
text. Scan it and save it as text, and that should insert a lot cleaner and a little better way of giving him some way of organizing.
Yeah, I believe that would certainly be our suggestion, but, you know, whatever way he wants to do it. Our next caller, Matthew from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Matthew. What's your question?
I was just looking for what a recommendation as far as freeware that'll block Korean spam.
what is your email program?
Outlook Express probably is like 4 or something like that. It's not exactly up to date, but
yeah, the problem with Outlook in general is that it doesn't really have good filters.
Yeah, you want to try to set up a filter that blocks the domain.kr or whatever
right.
KR is.
KR, something like that, yeah.
Right, no, that's for pop-ups.
Oh, you want to do spam?
He's doing spam. The problem
luck.
that I
what I recommend is you get a program like Eudora,
mm-hmm.
which will do it quite well, as a matter of yeah. fact, by saying any email address that ends in KR.
Oh, okay.
Or you can try some of the programs like Spam Assassin.
Spam Assassin?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, okay.
But I'm not going to promise how well those work with Outlook Express, but it certainly can't hurt to take a look at them on the web. Okay. McAfee has one. Norton has
yeah,
one.
Yeah, they're all starting to come out with them now.
There's a bunch of them out there. I haven't used any with Outlook, so.
Yeah.
Most of my foreign spam comes from China.
Yeah.
And with macOS 10 being multilingual, it shows up in perfect Chinese.
Right, so you're not, you don't even have to read it because you don't even yeah. know what it says.
I mean. Well, in my case, all I know is that you start to see X, asterisk, AA, dot, right. colon, colon,
all the foreign
whatever.
Characters.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So, anyway, thank
there
you.
There are also other solutions, like you go with a company like Filtered Internet Solutions and they set up the filters at their end, but that requires changing your internet service provider.
I'm running Roadrunner. I'd rather not have
right.
to know.
Right,
yeah.
right,
it
right. But I mean, those are, you know, that's the other.
So there are some options for you, though.
Yeah, okay.
Okie doke.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Matthew. Our next caller, George from Fairport. Welcome, George. What's your question?
Hi, guys. I've got Windows ME, which is working fine for me until I installed Norton Antivirus and Internet Security 2003. I know, I've heard you laugh before, but it was working fine for me until I installed this, and then it kind of destabilized my hard drive. One morning I got up and I had a black screen with a flashing cursor. I couldn't shut it down normally. I had to power down at the surge protector. And then when it started up and it was scanning the disk for errors because of the bad startup, it would stop at a certain cluster and then stop. I canceled that error check and I uninstalled Norton, but my system still stops during startup at the scan disk for errors. What do I do?
It sounds like...
Well, first you have to let ScanDisk finish. If you keep stopping it, Windows will always run it again. It has to finish cleanly yeah. before it'll let you go
but
back.
But did you have antivirus software on there before this?
No.
I'm wondering if he could have one of the Klez viruses or that, because yeah. Klez will stop you from installing or reconfiguring any previous installed software.
Right.
Because its main objective is to go in there and disable Norton, McAfee, any of the antivirus softwares, and then start doing its damage. So if right. you've got that on there, that could be causing you some issues. If you
what
say
you
got Roadrunner?
Go
yeah, I do have Roadrunner.
What okay. you can do is go to NAI, no, excuse me.
It's on our site, too.
vil.nai.com.
Go to where?
V-I-L.
V-I-L.
As in...
Virus Internet
Village.
Library.
Virus V-I-L. Internet Library. .nai.
Okay.
Network Associates Incorporated .com /Stinger.
Stinger?
Yeah.
Stinger.
Or you can go to our website, soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y.
Yep.
Lower left, lower right, rather. It's it talks. It says, you know, in the link section, a link I heard on your show.
Yep.
And look for Stinger. And download Stinger. Stinger is a standalone product. Download it, run it, and it should clean out Klez. But you want to download it on somebody else's machine and set it up on a disk that you can put in your machine.
Yeah, it scans for the 12 or 16 most virulent, most obnoxious
viruses. If he can download it to his machine, he can download it right there, unexpand it, and it will run. Because it'll put the DAF files, and he can go ahead and run it.
Right, because the first thing it does is a self-test.
Right, and it will get rid of up to 16 other viruses.
What kind of virus did you think I had?
You might have either Klez, there's what, Klez, Elkhorn.
Several of the most recent ones.
Like Bugbear. There's about 16 of them.
Yeah.
But
okay.
the other thing you want to do is let, no matter how long it takes, let the check finish, the auto check on startup.
Well, it won't, because then something happens and it goes to my CRT screen and a funny screen comes up. I mean, it looks like it's I can't hear any activity on the hard drive. It just stops right there, and a funny screen comes up that on my CRT.
What you
and
might
what does it say?
Well,
this funny screen.
It's got some hold on.
It's probably the error message telling you what it found wrong.
Well, it's not error message. It's kind of almost. I knew your guy. I tried to get in a couple times before. Hold on, I wrote this down.
Is it blue? Is it a blue background with white text?
It's a Numeter FH plus 53.8 KHZ FV plus 54.5 HZ. Status over. You know?
Never seen one like
that. Wait a minute. Say that again.
Here's what the screen says.
Yeah.
On the top it says view meter.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's got FH plus 53.8 KHZ kilohertz. And then FV plus 54.5 HZ hertz. Status over. Status colon over.
That what's happened is it's shut off your screen. Your monitor, and that's coming up from the monitor itself.
Yeah, it's.
Is your video card, the computer, the video card, or the hard drive maybe set to go to sleep, and it's turning off the monitor because nothing is happening for a while.
I see.
Go into your energy saving, under in the control panel, and under energy saving. There's usually three of them, standby, hard drive, and monitor. Turn those all three to never.
And then run it again, and let's see how long it takes. In addition, by the way, while it's running, you can tap every once in a while, every couple of minutes, tap the shift key.
Okay.
And that'll keep it from...
But our energy save, standby, hard drive, what was the other one?
All three of them. Just shut any of them in there to never. If they've got any time limits, turn them to never.
It's a laptop or a desktop?
It's a desktop.
You want them set to never anyway.
Okay. And then the other thing was just tap shift every once in a while?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which tells the computer there's input and to stay awake.
Right.
Stay awake.
All right, guy. I'm going to try all of it. Hope I don't have to call you back on this.
Well, call us back and let us know anyways.
Okay, I will.
All right.
Thanks again, guys.
Yep.
Bye.
Thank you. Man, they're tough this week. Our next caller is Steve from Brockport. Welcome, Steve. What's your question?
I'm using Outlook Express, and whenever I try and send email with either of my two POP3 servers on it, it won't let me send it. It'll give me an error.
What's the error?
Can you bring up Outlook Express?
No, we don't really have time for that.
Who's your internet provider?
FrontierNet. I'm using POP3 from lycos.co.uk and FrontierNet, and it gives me an error that it can't send it.
A lot of the mail servers from many of the different ISPs are doing their own internal virus checking, and if it detects your machine sending out a lot of mail, it will shut down your send mail feature, thinking you have a virus. And then a few hours later, it will check again, and if you're not sending any mail, it will turn it back on again.
You have an antivirus program running, right, Steve?
Yeah, McAfee.
And it's updated. Okay. You need to update it at least, at a minimum, twice a week, and that's a minimum.
The other people in my family who use Outlook Express and use POP3 mail, they can send email just fine.
Okay.
It's just on my one identity.
On the same computer?
It's just those two identities.
It's just my identity because...
You sure something hasn't been changed on them to the POP that you're going out of versus the POP that they're using?
Yeah, I've checked the ports and everything, and my two Hotmail accounts that I use on my identity work fine.
Yeah, Hotmail doesn't do any checking. It sounds like something is happening in Frontier and Lycos are checking and can't... Did it used to work?
No, I've just had Lycos for like a couple days now, and I tried to send out one email, and it hasn't worked.
What happens is you have to be sending through their server, and you have to make sure that your return address is on their server.
Mm-hmm.
So in the internet mail account, you've got to set that up to point to both their POP and SMTP servers.
Right. You may not be able to send out through them if you're not coming in through their network, but are you dialing in through FrontierNet?
No, we have DSL.
Okay, that's part of the problem.
Well, no, it's Frontier DSL or another company?
Frontier.
Okay, so you
well,
can
but
send
it may
Frontier.
Be that you've got it. First, check all your settings and make sure they're right.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, delete them and retype them, because even if they look right, they may
right.
not
you
be
might
right.
have a comma. I just had that problem. I had a comma in a friend's email address, not a thing. But start there and then check all of the settings, because what it sounds like is that it thinks you're trying to spam somebody through a relay. So check the settings. We're going to be right back in just a couple minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
got a problem with my neighbor. They were walking their dog and ran into my yard and it attacked one of our chickens. And these are our companion chickens. These are our pets.
You can cuddle with a chicken? I didn't know this.
Oh, yeah. You can get good loving with a chicken.
You're kidding.
Chickens are fabulous pets.
All right.
I come home. Gladys is dead. It was the same lady came back with her dog. She just handed me the chicken. I asked her what happened. She said it was her dog.
What do you mean handed you the chicken? Where was your chicken when it got attacked?
It was in my flower garden.
You know for a fact that your chickens never walk off your property?
Absolutely know for a fact.
How do you know where a chicken's been?
These are Polish chickens.
What does a Polish chicken have to do with staying in your side of the property line?
Polish chickens don't stray far from their house. It's one of the
Okay, don't stray far still means they stray. You don't have your chickens contained, and you don't have a fence on your property line. You need to be more responsible with your chickens. You live in that kind of area. I appreciate your affection for your chickens. Well, I eat a lot of them, so I have a lot of affection for chickens.
Dr. Laura, weekdays 9 to 11 on Wham!
We know about it before it's big news. We tell you about it before it happens. You're given a heads up and able to form an opinion before you have to. You are always the first on your block to know anything and everything. If we don't talk about it on this program, trust me, you don't need to know about it.
Rush 2 till 5. Rush on Wham! Don't touch that dial, or you'll miss the important stuff. News Radio 1180, WHAM, Rochester. A Clear Channel radio station.
CBS News, I'm Steve Knight. British undercover agents break up a possible terrorist attack planned for London's subway system. The Sunday Times of London says three men from North Africa are in custody. Assistant editor Nicholas Rufford says that undercover agents infiltrated the group.
What they knew was that the attack would involve the mixing of two chemicals together. That made them think that it was likely to be cyanide that was going to be produced. And the most likely target was a tube compartment during rush hour.
Scotland Yard isn't talking about this yet. The bust apparently happened sometime last week and wasn't revealed until the Sunday Times uncovered the alleged plot. The Sunday New York Times says the Bush administration is monitoring Iraqis here in the United States to spot potential domestic terrorists. The previously undisclosed intelligence program involves tracking thousands of Iraqi citizens and Iraqi Americans with dual citizenship who might pose a risk if the U.S. goes to war against Iraq. The UN's chief weapons inspector says he expects full cooperation from Iraq. Hans Blix spoke in Paris on his way to Baghdad with an advance team of inspectors that starts work on Monday.
Our strength is directly dependent upon the support, the full support of the Security Council.
CBS News reporter Charles Daggett from Baghdad.
Iraq prepares to welcome the advance teams of weapons inspectors, in part, they say, to prove the country has nothing to hide. All the major newspapers have announced the return of the inspectors, leaving out details as to their precise arrival. Most editorials are already calling for the UN to drop its sanctions against Iraq, saying they should prove once and for all that Iraq has no weapons of mass destruction. Charles Daggett of CBS News, Baghdad.
American and British warplanes bombed part of southern Iraq after they had been fired upon while patrolling the no-fly zone. The Iraqi military says seven civilians were killed. Police in Kuwait have arrested a senior member of Al-Qaeda who they say was working on a plan to blow up a hotel in Yemen with a car bomb. Americans often stay there. The suspect reportedly told police he had collected $125,000 to finance the attack. Israeli troops have retaken control of the West Bank town of Hebron. Last month's pullout ended after yesterday's attack that killed 12 Israelis. More from CBS News correspondent Robert Berger in Jerusalem.
Israel's defense minister has ordered a series of tough measures in the West Bank in response to the Hebron attack. Security sources say the army will seize areas used as bases for Palestinian terror and will arrest militants and their leaders. The homes of Palestinians involved in terrorism will be demolished.
An advisor to Prime Minister Ariel Sharon says there is no plan at this time to expel Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat. The nation's youngest governor, 37-year-old Jane Swift of Massachusetts, is hospitalized with viral meningitis. Her doctors say it's not life-threatening. She should be back home in just a few days. This is CBS News.
Fear, uncertainty, anxiety. These are emotions we've all struggled with recently. I made all kinds of excuses for why I couldn't go places and do things. I remember feeling like I couldn't catch my breath and being so aware of my heart pounding that I was sure I was having a heart attack. I felt like I couldn't control my fears, my thoughts, and my nervousness. Is this you too? I'm Lucinda Bassett, founder of the Midwest Center for Stress and Anxiety. I struggled for 20 years with anxiety and depression, and I finally found my way out of the vicious cycle. If I can help myself, I can help you help yourself. Don't let anyone tell you you have to learn to live with anxiety and depression and that medication is the only answer. I urge you to call now for my free tape and a personal letter with tips on coping. No matter what's going on around you, you can control how you're affected by it. Please call 1-800-ANXIETY. Someone who understands is waiting to take your call now. 1-800-ANXIETY.
Giuseppe, how's the soup?
The soup needs more beans.
Giuseppe, how's the pasta?
The pasta needs more beans.
Basil this, basil that. Everything she needs more basil.
Hey, there's a new kitchen in town. Basil, a casual Italian kitchen. What'll you find? Well, the most popular Italian recipes. All your favorite Italian dishes. Basil. A new restaurant concept where the atmosphere is cozy, casual, and clean. And the food? Oh, it's tasty and served in large portions.
More basil for you, more basil for me.
It's good food at a great price. Basil, delicious Italian dishes like homemade lasagna, shrimp, veal, and chicken French combo. Basil, so fresh it snaps.
Everything she needs a more basil.
So follow your senses. Go to Basil. Serving lunch and dinner 7 days a week with a convenient lunch buffet Monday through Friday. Basil on East Henrietta Road across from MCC next to the Hampton Inn Hotel.
I like you, Basil.
Biography presents movie Tough Guys Week featuring Bronson, Whitmark, Mitchum, Savalas, and of course Marion beginning Monday at 8, 7 Central only on A&E.
Here is the WHAM radar weather for Rochester and Western New York. A winter weather advisory in effect for the remainder of this evening into the night. We are going to find some flakes out there with some pockets of freezing rain. Going to make slippery road conditions. Be careful. Take it slow as you drive. All this changes over to just rainfall overnight as temperatures start out in the lower 30s, then warm up into the middle 30s by morning. We stay in the mid-30s with some rain showers, but things go back downhill as more snow showers return by tomorrow afternoon. Temperatures going to be in the lower 30s by the evening, trace to 3 inches possible by night. I'm News Source 13 WHAM meteorologist Pat Ballone.
Welcome back to America's longest running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-11, the Choice 1 toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Hi there, I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Litton.
Oh, wait. Wait, no, you're not.
I forgot. No.
We wore out another
Wait,
one.
Look in your underwear. Who are you?
Was it anything I said?
It says Craig Schellard.
That's all right.
Okay. Craig Schellard has replaced Rob. We have worn out Rob, and we've replaced him with Craig. We'll see if he'll make it a whole hour on Soundbites. Our next caller is Ron, calling from a cell phone somewhere out in the great unknown. Ron, you're pulled over somewhere, right?
Yeah,
good.
Those crickets are loud, though.
I'm using the hands-free, Nick.
That's what I like to hear.
Got a question. I have AOL. My email filing cabinet is rather large, and I'd like to save it onto CD disk. How would I go about doing that? But is there a way?
There's an easy way to do it. The trick is whether it'll be readable again when you want to come bring it back.
Yeah.
What you have to do is find that... Wait a minute. Are these messages you saved in your online filing cabinet or your offline filing cabinet?
Online.
Okay. You'll have to save them offline first.
Yeah.
To save them to the local hard drive. And then from there, you can burn them to CD like you can with any other type of file.
Oh, okay. That way I can just go into the filing cabinet, go and save them offline.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then burn it on CD, and it should work.
Yeah, it's the only way you can do it, because while they're up there, you can't get at them down here.
Can you save messages as a text file?
Yeah, you could go through each message individually and save as a text file on your hard drive. Then you don't have to worry about not being able to open them later.
You can burn the text.
If you save the filing cabinet data structure itself, then if you ever want to read that back, you'll have to replace your current filing cabinet with the old one, which is a lot much more of a hassle.
No. Okay.
So the easiest
Save it as text?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Each message save as text is the easiest way to do it.
Okay, very good.
Most time-intensive, but it's the easiest and best way to read them back again.
From here on out, he can do that, and it's
less than the burden.
Right.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. That's what I think I'll do, but I'll go in and try and clear the filing cabinet out and save it as text, and then from now on save everyone as text.
In fact, there's probably a file limit at AOL on how much you can store, which I don't remember offhand.
Plus, if he did it to a CDRW, he can create an open session and just keep adding to it.
Right.
Okay. Very good. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you, sir.
I appreciate your call.
Thank you, and
we appreciate your call.
That safe hands-free device. Pretty soon, we may have a law that says we can't dial while we're driving.
Yeah, it's coming.
Well, now the voice dialing phones you have to use.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Call home. No.
Hello. Well, it's when they start talking back that you have to worry.
Honey, the computer told me I couldn't.
That's been happening to me since the 60s. Our next caller is Larry from Pittsburgh.
You can remember
Larry,
the
60s? What's your question?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, it might be a problem you had earlier. I listened and it got a tail end of somebody else's problem. Sounds like mine. Basically, it happens on startup. I've got a Dell running Windows 98 SE, and when I start it up, I get the toolbar, but nothing else shows up on the screen. I click on the start button, nothing happens. You have the little icons in the system tray. You click on them, nothing happens. So then, and there's also no icons on the screen. So if I push the reset button that's on the PC, mm-hmm. Windows loads again, and then everything works fine.
What have you recently done to change?
Well, this happened a while back when my son was removing some programs and files and things like that. So I'm mm-hmm. thinking maybe he did something. I'm wondering, should I reinstall Windows 98?
On top of itself?
Yeah, just reinstall.
You could do that, but it might not. You might want to also check and see if he didn't delete the programs correctly. In other words, if he just went into the file manager and just clicked on them and said delete them, instead of going into the add remove, the remnants are still be there.
I did go and on the that startup under msconfig, mm-hmm. I unchecked it so that there would not be anything that starts up when you turn on the PC.
Okay. The other thing you might want to do, and off of our website, is, you know, I heard this link on the web or on our show. There's one called Reg Cleaner.
Reg Cleaner?
Reg Cleaner, you can sit there and run. And what it does is look for any bogus strains or lost connections to programs that are no longer needed. And you can run that program and get rid of those errors.
On the other hand, if it works perfectly the second time.
Yes, it does.
Then what I'm thinking is you've got some sort of hardware problem.
Oh, you think so?
What happens often is that you have a heat-related problem. When the system is cold, things don't work well because there's a minor microscopic break in one of the traces. So something doesn't work, like let's say memory or video memory doesn't work right.
Well, the machine can be on, and then I turn it off and go through the same process. It happens right again. Where
it
the
happens
first time
at cold boot, but not at warm boot.
No, he's saying it does happen even after warm boot.
Yeah, even after the machine is on.
I need more Windows.
And I turn it off and then try loading starting mm-hmm. Windows the normal way. I still get the same problem.
So if you turn the machine off and then turn it on, you get the problem. But if you do Control-Alt-Delete, you don't get the problem.
Right.
I'd still try cheaper to first try Windows reinstall.
Yeah, do the reinstall
Reg
first.
That's cheapest. And then see if that alleviates the problem. Otherwise, then he's got to do some diagnostics work.
All right. So
start there.
So reinstall Windows first?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It'll reinstall on top of itself without
and
a problem.
And do the Reg clean, and then see if that alleviates the problem.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next caller, Jeff from Bergen, New York. Welcome, Jeff. What's your question?
How you doing?
Peachy, how are you?
Good. We have Outlook Express.
Yeah.
And whenever someone sends an attachment with mm-hmm. an email,
mm-hmm.
we get a message that says Outlook Express will not permit the attachment to come through for someone, I guess it's the specs a virus or something.
Yep, that's exactly the reason. You can change that.
That's a feature.
Yeah.
That's actually a good thing.
They block everything except Microsoft Word documents, which are the most known for sending viruses.
Yeah,
exactly. What you need to do is go into the Internet Explorer options. The Internet options. Whether you get to them through Internet Explorer or through the control panel or whatever. You want to go in Internet options.
Okay.
And then you want to lower the security from high to medium.
In which section?
Everything. They're all. It's all. You know, Microsoft. God forbid that everything isn't interconnected. So it all uses the same control panel. You can't have a different setting for your Outlook than you have for your browser. If you use all Microsoft products.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
You have to set it lower in order to get the attachments.
Okay. Medium will let them through, huh?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And set everything to medium. Okay.
Yep.
Sorry.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, use a different email program, of course.
Yeah.
Right, exactly, and then leave it at high. That would be all right.
What other email programs are better than Outlook Express?
Every other one of them. You can use either Mozilla, Eudora.
Pegasus.
Netscape.
Eudora is free with little ads, or you can pay the money. Pegasus is free right from the get-go.
Mozilla.
Mozilla's free.
Pegasus. So how do you pull that up?
Pegasus is at pmail.com. Mozilla is part of the Mozilla browser at mozilla.org. Eudora is at eudora.com.
And Netscape at netscape.com.
And Netscape's at netscape.com.
Okay. Thank you very much. And those will work with Explorer?
Those will work independently of Internet Explorer. You continue to use Internet Explorer as your browser, yes.
Okay.
We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes. If you're on the phone, please hold on. If you're not, why not? We'll be back with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Craig Shellard, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Hey, everybody. This is Wham's health and fitness reporter, Liz Bonus. And you might want to watch what you put in your mouth. And, of course, if you need a little help doing that, we have our Lighten Up with Liz newsletter. Those are free, brought to you by Roberts Wesleyan College and Pinnacle Printing. It's all the stuff we talk about Monday through Friday on your Wham Morning News and in our Saturday hour at 11 a.m.
Pick up Liz's Lighten Up newsletter at Palmer's Retail Outlet in the Regional Market on Jefferson Road, at Fonte Surgical Supply on Portland Avenue, at the Craft Antique Co-op on Ridge Road West in Greece, and at Agape Physical Therapy, 92 West Avenue in Brockport.
Tired of constantly having your computer lock up on you? Have you experienced the infamous blue screen of death? Or is your computer just running too hot? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need FrozenCPU.com. FrozenCPU.com, a local internet-based company specializing in customized PC cases and products for cooling your overheated computers. FrozenCPU.com, considered by many the mecca for modified cases and cooling products. They have a huge selection of some of the premium cases available, ranging from Cooler Master and Lee & Lee to their famous Blizzard system, as well as cutting-edge Coolant's water-cooled cases. FrozenCPU.com cases start at only $99, including a 350-watt power supply. In addition to being your case headquarters, FrozenCPU.com also specializes in cooling your overheated computer. They carry top-of-the-line heat sinks like Thermalright, Alpha, SwiftTech, and all the fans you could ask for. FrozenCPU.com, your case and cooling system headquarters. Call Frozen CPU at 1-877-243-8266.
Hello there, this is Bruce Williams. Now let's face it, there are all kinds of people out there calling themselves financial planners, but check their credentials. I want you to make the right choice. My choice, Mike Kazakis. Why? Because I know Mike. I know he speaks the language that you can understand. Hey, I can understand. He has the credentials. He knows his craft. Mike is a senior vice president of Morgan Stanley Dean Witter and a certified financial planner. He's been a trusted name in the Rochester community for over 20 years. Now, you've heard his financial comments on radio and TV. Mike can help you make decisions. Decisions that affect your lifetime. And he'll give you ideas to reduce your taxes if you need financial direction. Mike Kazakis is your guy. Line yourself up with Mike. Get the information. Work from a position of strength.
You can call Mike at 243-2454. That's 243-2454. Call Mike Kazakis, 243-2454. Morgan Stanley, member SIPC.
And now we take you into the home of Mario's Via Abruzzi with Mario and his two sons, Anthony and Danny.
Ciao papà, che facciamo stasera?
Questa sera facciamo la stessa cosa che abbiamo fatto ieri sera, anche se non ti piace.
E speriamo che ci sta da mangiare e bere.
Il nostro ristorante è un ristorante autentico italiano e pertanto non facciamo altro che cucinare sempre un gusto, un sapore delizioso che tutta la gente di Rochester ci conosce, sanno benissimo che siamo italiani e pertanto continuiamo sempre a cucinare nel modo italiano il più possibile.
Stasera si mangia molto bene.
Mario's Via Abruzzi, 2740 Monroe Avenue. Take someone special out for dinner tonight. For reservations and information on our banquet menu, call 271-1111 or log on to www.271-1111.com.
At Mario's, you are not just a customer, you are my special guest.
I'm time for bed.
I'm going to take this first.
Robitussin DM? Wait, that's like setting the alarm for the middle of the night.
Huh?
It only lasts 4 hours. Your cough could wake us both up at 3 a.m. Sweetie, oh, here, take NyQuil cough. You'll get up to 8 hours of sleep. And a wife that still loves you in the morning.
That's a tough decision.
My gosh, you're funny.
NyQuil cough, that stops your coughing so you can sleep through the night cough medicine. From the makers of NyQuil.
Morals, values, ethics, and principles. It's Dr. Laura, 9 till 11 on News Radio 1180, WHAM. These guys know computers. They may not know anything else, but they know computers. They're Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Stay. And this is Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Craig Scheller.
And this, yes, this
is what?
I don't remember. Oh, Soundbites.
Oh, okay.
This is Soundbites. And our next.
Yeah, it is late in the day for you. You missed your nap.
I missed a lot of naps. I'm grumpy.
No, you.
Grumpy tiger, napping dragon. That's my life story. Our next caller is Shan from Dansville. Welcome, Shan. What's your question?
Well, my husband's a computer expert, and I try to stay as far away from them as possible.
Sure.
But we have this ongoing discussion that I'd like you guys to settle.
Oh, I love the way she puts it.
So it's not computer advice you want, it's marital advice.
Well, a little bit of both, I guess.
Shan, I gotta ask you, it's a very interesting name. What is it short for?
It's just something my mom came up with.
Really?
Yeah.
Shan, it's a good name.
Yeah, I like it.
Thank you.
Go ahead with your question.
Okay.
He's wrong anyways, but go ahead. We'll stay
He leaves the computer on 24 hours a day.
I knew it was going to be this question.
Yep.
Go ahead.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Sure. Yep.
And it doesn't matter if he's sleeping or goes out or whatever. And I say that it can't possibly be good for it.
Well,
and he says it can't hurt it.
It's an interesting six of one, half a dozen the other.
You got it.
If you turn the machine on and off a lot, you're heating it up, cooling it down, heating it up, cooling it down, and wearing it out. If you leave it on all the time, it's on all the time, and you're wearing it out.
The bottom line is, except for the... as long as you're consistent,
yeah.
If you really leave it on all the time, it's not a problem.
The only time it gets turned off is when I get disgusted and go out and turn it off because it's on all the time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Except for the little bit of electricity it uses, assuming you've got a decent brand name or well-built, locally made computer, mm-hmm. Leaving it on all the time is not a problem as long as it's well-ventilated.
Yeah.
If you've got it backed into a corner or under a desk or stuff packed around it,
okay,
that's bad.
And open it up every 6 months or so and vacuum out the dust that's going to accumulate anyway.
Then you do want to make sure it's turned off.
And the bigger issue, too, is also the monitor. Physically turn the monitor off because that's the biggest power draw. It may be a little bit of electricity for you, but multiplied by 100 million other people, and there's a lot of wasted electricity.
What I normally recommend to folks is if he turns it on the first thing in the morning, okay, leave it on, and even if he doesn't use it, he's going to go out and go shopping or whatever during the day. You turn it on in the morning and leave it on until, you know, the last person goes to bed, go in and shut it off.
Well, he's, like, at work for, like, 10, 12 hours, and it's on.
Well,
that still doesn't hurt. It's the turning it on, turning it off, turning it on, turning it off.
Yeah, see, it's like a light bulb. When do light bulbs blow out?
Right.
When you turn them on.
Yeah.
And the reason is that when you turn a computer on or a light bulb on or any electrical circuit, there's a push of electricity that heats up the components. And that's an incredible amount of stress for those tiny little circuits.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you most risk blowing them out. When it's on 24/7, you mostly risk burning out the mechanical components like the fans and the hard drive.
Okay.
But again, that can take 5 years.
Okay.
So leaving, although, yep, in every other aspect of your marriage, Shan, you are right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's right. Well, he knows
one,
that.
We didn't say she was wrong.
In this particular one, it's okay to let him think he's right.
That's right.
Okay.
That's the way we work it. Thanks so much.
The one thing I might say, though, is if he's using it 4 hours a day and it's running 20 hours a day not being used, that's more of a waste of electricity and drain on the computer than it's worth.
Well, that's where my beef is because of the electrical use.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if that's your problem, then yes,
turn
it off while he's at work. He turns it on when he comes home. It stays on until he goes to bed. Then he turns it off. If he doesn't work in the morning, then leave it off until he comes home again.
Yeah.
That's fine as long as you realize that's, you know, instead of stressing the fans and the hard drive, it's going to stress all the components when it first comes on. But you're also saving an incredible amount of electricity. Put all that money toward buying a computer, and in 40 years, you'll be able to buy another
one. The new 3.06.
Yeah, faster.
The 3.06 gigahertz.
Yeah, they broke the 3 gigahertz barrier on the Intel.
But yes, let him think he's right about this one.
Okay.
And it's you know you got to pick your battles, Shan.
Well, he needs to be right once in a while. So.
And this is a good one because it's not a big one.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
That's a good one.
We'll dispense whatever advice you need dispensed. Our next caller is Sal from Fairport. Welcome, Sal.
Hey, guys. I have a Mac question for you.
Sure.
I'm on the Internet, and after about half an hour, there's a window that comes up asking me if I want to stay on or shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to cancel that out because I'm trying to update some software, and it takes longer than half an hour sometimes, and
right. There's usually,
I'm not there, it shuts down for
there's me. Usually two settings, and you can set them in your remote access control panel, that will automatically hang you up after X minutes of inactivity.
Okay.
And that's designed to let you free up the phone.
Right.
And also will ask you every X minutes if you want to stay on, and that also helps you free up your phone when if you might forget that you've left it turned on.
Okay.
And those should both be in the remote access control panel under System 9 or in the
10-2-1.
Network system preference under PPP options.
Okay. And I looked on that and I didn't see any.
It's maybe down a couple of
PPP options. Okay.
Right, down a couple of buttons to find the options.
Down there and I can take that out.
Right. Prompt to remind me and automatically hang up. You can turn those on or off as you wish.
Oh, I see. After 30 seconds, 15.
And some of
vital. Okay.
Right. Some of the internet providers at the other end will also hang up on you if there's no activity, again to free up the phone line for somebody else.
Right. Okay. That was it. I couldn't find out.
There you go.
Thanks a lot.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Sal. Our next caller, Brian from Rochester. Welcome. What's your question?
I've got two questions, one on Netscape and one on Internet Explorer.
Yes?
If I wanted to see the previously viewed links in Netscape, they don't show up. They just stayed the same color. How do I change it so I can view the previously viewed links?
It could be that your history palette is set to zero.
Zero, yeah.
So it doesn't remember any history.
Are you talking about links right on the page you're looking at?
Like,
they don't change color?
I search at Yahoo, and all these links come up. I click on one and then go back to the page that listed all the search.
Yeah.
That just stays like blank.
When you click on one, does it open right in that window or open in a new window or a new tab?
It opens right in that window.
Then going back should show it to you. If you do other things, does it work?
What do you mean?
In other words, if you go to some other website, click on a link and come back, do you see it in a different color?
I don't believe so.
Okay, what's likely happened then is that somehow in your settings, you set the colors to be the same.
Yeah, check under Properties. I think it's under Edit.
What are you in, Netscape?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which version?
I don't even remember. I think it's like 4.6.
Okay.
then yeah.
Yeah, try to go under File, Edit, Preferences.
Okay.
All right, yeah. And you can change it there. I would recommend, what version of Windows are you running?
4.6.
I know. Windows what?
Oh, Windows 98.
98 second edition?
I believe so.
Yeah, try 7.02. I'm really liking 7.02 along with Mozilla. If you liked the Netscape product, either Mozilla or the new Netscape 7, because you can do multiple tabs. In other words, you can set up a group of tabs, and with one click, all of a sudden you can open up whether you've got four windows in your group or 20. It'll open them all up at once.
Okay.
It's really slick.
And it's just an upgrade to your current product.
Right.
Yeah. The next question on Explorer.
Yeah.
If I go to a site that I'm a member of and it asks for my password, I don't get a second window that comes up to ask me to insert my password. It just says, like, password failed or access denied.
Your password list may be corrupt.
Okay.
You know, there's a... Because I don't use Internet Explorer that but I believe in IE, there's a way that you can store your password. So you might want to go in there and erase that file.
It's the PWD file. It's the same password file.
Oh, it is? Yeah, just PWD and then...
whatever your username is when you log in, .pwl, you'll find a file, password list. That name, .pwl.
Delete it and then see if it'll start keeping track of them again for you.
Okay.
All right.
Actually, I don't want to keep track of any of them at all.
Well, that's a choice when you first do it. It'll ask you if you want to do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So,
where was the PWL?
Just do a search.
In the Windows directory, do a search.
Okay.
Okie doke.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot.
Sounds good to me. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Craig Shallard, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites, the greatest show. We'll be back.
How about the best radio show going?
We'll be back. Just turn off my mic. We'll be back.
Just 2 hours ago, Allied Air Forces began an attack on military targets in Iraq and Kuwait.
We were there for you then.
The skies over Baghdad have been illuminated.
And we're here for you now.
We have every reason to assume the worst, and we have an urgent duty to prevent the worst from occurring.
Bringing you in-depth team coverage of the events in Iraq.
Terrorists are now in Iraq.
When news breaks out,
we want to send them a message.
We break in.
We cannot wait for the final proof.
News Radio 1180.
It could come in the form of a mushroom cloud.
WHAM.
Hi, I'm Major Real from the Salvation Army. With the holidays and the harsher weather upon us, do you ever have the desire to help people in need, but you're just not sure how? Then there's a great opportunity for you to help others, as well as yourself. Join Clear Channel Rochester and the Salvation Army this Saturday, November 16th at the Perriton Square Mall as we rally for ringers. Sign up to be a bell ringer or make a donation and you'll automatically receive tickets to a free showing of the new movie, The Santa Claus 2, at Regal Cinemas. You'll also be registered to win a beautiful ring from Fine Line Jewelers to keep for yourself or to a loved one as a special holiday gift. So please, don't just think about it this year. Do it. Bring your donations of dry goods, clothing, or household items to Perriton Square Mall this Saturday, November 16th, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. And while you're there, sign up to be a ringer. We'll have delicious treats from Leo's Bakery, hot pizza from Mark's Pizzeria, and movie tickets for The Santa Claus 2, and lots of other special prizes in return for your kindness. This is the time of year you may hear about the Salvation Army. Why? Because this is the time of year Rochesterians need them most.
The perfect holiday gift pack for clients, employees, friends, or family is the Zweigel's Hot Dog Holiday Gift Pack. Those famous Zweigel's Hots will make any holiday gathering something special. And your Zweigel's Holiday Gift Packs are guaranteed delivery anywhere in the continental USA within 3 days or less. To send those delicious Zweigel's Hots, click on WHAM1180.com or call the New York Style Deli at 235-7860. Happy holidays from Zweigel's. Quality meat products since 1880.
The day has ended. Amber skies blend to twilight blue. The world softens a bit around the edges, and you release all the cares of the day. Now is the time for Bella Sera wine. Bella Sera Pinot Grigio from Italy. Pour a glass, relax. It's going to be a beautiful evening. Or as they say in Italian, it's going to be a Bella Sera. Imported by Villa de Bellacera, Healdsburg, California.
Miraculous.
Fantastic.
Most wonderful product in years.
What's so great about Thermacare heat wraps? They're 33% better at relieving muscle pain than ibuprofen, the active ingredient in Advil.
Thermacare works.
The heat goes deep down.
Way down.
Really helps my aches and pains.
Thermacare stays warm for 8 hours.
The warmth
did wonders.
So tight muscles relax.
It took away my pain.
I'll take Thermacare over pills any day.
Get 33% better muscle pain relief with Thermacare. Feel a difference or your money back. Call 1-866-HEAT-WORKS within 30 days of purchase with pouch and receipt.
Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear.
Introducing the 60 greatest old-time radio shows of the 20th century, selected by Walter Cronkite. 30 hours of classic radio, including Orson Welles' legendary War of the Worlds, The Lone Ranger, and The Shadow, plus comedy greats Jack Benny, Abbott and Costello.
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know. Third base.
And more. This digitally remastered cassette compilation comes complete with a 64-page commemorative booklet. Call now to order. You'll get 60 episodes for just $29.95 plus shipping and handling. That's 50% off the regular price. CD also available. As a bonus, you'll also get 2 episodes of The Bob Hope Show free. Old Time Radio is great family entertainment for listeners of all ages and makes a perfect gift. Order now.
Look, bud, I said your money or your life. I'm thinking it over.
For the 60 greatest old-time radio shows, call now, 800-556-9100. That's 800-556-9100.
This is Rochester attorney Frank Sigelski. I'll take your calls, comments, and questions about the law on Answers for the Injured this Sunday evening at 8 on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Contact the guys the old-fashioned way. Use your telephone and dial 222-1180 or the Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Welcome back to Soundbites with Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Now, this is Nick Francesco.
Dave Enright.
Steve Ray.
And Craig Schaller.
And you are listening to Soundbites. Before we get back to the phones, we'll be back in a minute, so please hold on. We just want to tell you a little bit about what's going on at the site. Every week we have a poll. Last week's poll was about what is your primary news source. We are delighted to say that 286 of you voted. And we are equally delighted to say that your number one news source by 8 votes is radio.
Yes.
Followed by television, newspapers, the internet, news, and water cooler. Okay. This week's poll is slightly different. We're asking you about the tablet PC. And the choices are, gotta have it, interesting, but I'll wait, yawn, and huh? And so far, yawn has 54% of the votes. Interesting, but I'll wait and see is 23% of the votes. Huh is 19% of the votes, and with a mere 3 votes, gotta have it. 94 people have voted in the poll so far, and you can vote in the poll at Soundbites, that's bites with a Y, .org. And when you're done there, please stop over at my website, AskNick.com, and give us your opinion about the tablet PC. So far already, what, 5 of you have done so, and we need more. But we're going to go back to the phones now at the numbers you heard a minute ago, 222-1180, 295-1180, and the 800 number, and star 1180. If you're a Verizon Wireless customer. Our next caller is still Brian from Rochester, but I'm assuming this is a different Brian from the same Rochester. Welcome, Brian. What's your question?
That's correct. A different Brian from the same Rochester.
Excellent.
All right.
Gentlemen, I've got a very sluggish computer that's depressing my 10-year-old and my 9-year-old. If I don't fix it, I'm in big trouble.
Sure.
It's Windows 98. I got 2 gigs of free space left on the hard drive. It started a couple months back. And I found out that my son had added Kazaa and Morpheus.
Oh, talking about that, yeah.
All that junk. So I did the add remove programs, and I tried to get rid of all that crap, and I got it off, but it's still very sluggish.
Right,
I've
run
scan disk successfully, and then I've tried to do a defrag, and every time it tries to do a defrag, it comes back and tells me could not complete.
Yeah, time's out. What antivirus software are you running?
Pardon me?
What antivirus software are you running?
Norton.
When was the last time you updated it?
It's probably not up to date.
Ah! There you go. Because
that's why it's sluggish.
I just cleaned one off that friend of mine, his son's used Kazaa, and I think it was, 937 files later, we got the Happy Time virus off of it.
One of the problems...
Which slows it down.
One of the problems, too, with the Kazaa and the Morpheus and all of those, is even if you go to the add remove, to remove them, it removes the primary program, but doesn't remove all of the extra spy programs that it puts in. So you also need to download AdAware, and there's links on our website, which will scan for AdAware.
AdAware.
Okay.
And that looks for spyware and ad programs that are constantly running in the background.
But first, get your virus program updated and scan for that. You could very well have any one of the Klez, the Happy Time, and all these others that are literally... eating away at your processor time.
In addition, we were talking earlier about a program called Stinger. And that's also listed on our website. A link to it is on our website. If you go down to the lower right, you'll see a link for, I heard about a website on your show. That will take you to AdAware. Well, it's a list of things. You want AdAware and Stinger. Stinger is a program that will look for viruses that stop your antivirus program from running.
Okay.
So you want to look at that, then you want to download, first you want to download that and run it, then you want to download AdAware and run it, then you want to buy a second machine that's way faster, and don't let your kids use it. That'll learn them.
So, but first, Norton Antivirus, then Stinger, then AdAware.
You got it.
Right.
Okay.
Well, actually, Stinger first, because a lot of the viruses won't let Norton work or Norton be updated.
Right.
Okay.
Stinger first, then Norton.
Okay.
Then AdAware. And then tell your son if he ever downloads Kazaa again, he can't use the computer until he's 40.
He'll love that.
Get over it. The problem is he caused the problem.
Right.
So he has to understand he's responsible.
Or he goes out and buys his own.
Any of those music programs that are safe to use?
No. We were just talking about one called ShareZaa. SHAREZAA. Maybe there's a second A on the end there.
Uh-huh.
That is a shareware version of Kazaa, which theoretically has no spyware attached to it.
That we found yet.
We found yet. But run AdAware against it. You know, once you've installed it, run AdAware. Anytime you install something, run AdAware. And make sure your antivirus program is up to date. Because if you're downloading music, you're probably downloading viruses.
That makes sense.
Okie doke.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you very much. Our next caller is Lene. Is that correct?
Lene, yeah.
Lene from Greece. Welcome, Lene. What's your question? How do you spell that, by the way?
Lanay.
Thank you. That's exactly what Craig had.
Yeah.
Why did I doubt him for a moment? What's your question?
Okay, first comment.
Yes.
For the Outlook Express person that couldn't download attachments.
Yeah. Excellent, you're right.
If he's running Express 6, he needs to go to Tools, Options, Security, and then there's a checkbox that says that he has to unlock, and it says Do Not Allow Attachments, because I just had to fix it on my neighbor's computer.
Very good.
Okay, then the second...
Tools?
I'm sorry, Tools,
options,
Security, and then there's a checkbox. You want to uncheck it. It says Do Not Allow Attachments. You want to uncheck that, because by default it makes it checked.
Okay, great. Oh, that's great. Thank you, Lene. I love it when people answer each other's questions.
So what's your question?
Okay, thank you. I do have a question. I scanned the picture, and I finally realized that when I'm scanning a picture, I don't really know if the picture is looking the way I intend it to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got your video card, which is two colors.
You can almost be assured that it's not.
Right. You got your video card, your scanner, and your monitor.
And the overhead lighting, and the outdoor lighting, and the color of the walls in the room, and
is
everything.
Is there any way to fine-tune this type of thing?
Yes and no.
Yes, then it's expensive.
Yes.
You can do it. There are monitors. Here's the problem. There's colors have temperatures.
Right.
Okay? And you can tune your monitor to the perfect color temperatures for any colors you want. The question is, do you want to take that much time, effort, and cash, because it's not a regular monitor?
Oh, no, it's going
to
be...
And secondly, when you send it to somebody else, it's going to be whatever their monitor is set to anyway.
And in fact, if you actually look at it in a different room in your house, the overhead lighting, the color of the walls, even the color of your clothes.
Right.
Who was it? The Radius. Radius had a monitor series that had a built-in color densitometer to measure the color that came out. The monitor was $2,000 for a 20-inch monitor. It came with a black lab coat that you were supposed to wear to cut down on the reflections your clothes would cause and screw up the way the colors look.
Also can affect it is the video cards, from one video card to another. The way maybe ATI may display 62 or 32 million colors versus, say, Diamond or one of the others, they don't always balance them the exact same way, and depending on how their drivers are.
And then if you're going to print it, all bets are off.
Forget
that. That's right. Well, I guess that's kind of a dilemma of the digital camera industry, don't you think?
Well, yeah. Yes, absolutely. When somebody is printing for professional reasons, they buy the $5,000 camera and the $3,000 monitor and the $10,000 printer, and they color balance them. When you buy it at home, the idea is you're taking snapshots of your kids, and if it's, you know, a Pantone 33 or a Pantone 34 is unimportant.
What do they call that, swag? Silly
wild guess. Wild algorithm guess. That was it. So, yeah, I'm afraid that...
We're always politically correct.
Exactly. At the point we are now technologically, you can do what you want to do, but not at a price you're willing to pay unless you're a professional photographer.
Which I'm not.
Which you're not. Which you could be.
A lot of the programs are trying to handle a bit of it themselves. If you buy a professional program like Photoshop, it comes with a Kodak color management system built in. Apple has their color sync management for the Macintosh OS. And what they try to do is build profiles that they know this monitor skews a little green, this scanner skews a little blue. So by loading profiles, it knows what devices you have for scanner, monitor, printer, and tries to sort of help work it out a little bit. But then when you go to commercial press, and you know, everything changes again.
Yeah, forget it.
Right. So the reality is, I'm sorry.
Wish we could help you with more.
That's okay. I appreciate it. That was interesting about the overhead lighting. I even forgot about that.
There you go.
Variable.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And, of course, no photograph or picture looks good in overhead lighting, in fluorescent lighting.
And thank you for your input, though.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. That's the thing we like best. Our next caller is Gordon from Rochester. Welcome, Gordon. What's your question?
Oh, I've got maybe a different question than you've heard for a while. I've got an old compact Pentium 2, 233 megahertz that's been upgraded to Windows 98 SE. It came originally with a 6.5-gig hard drive, which I then, a couple of years ago, bought a 20-gig Western Digital hard drive and put in there. And, of course, the BIOS in that computer doesn't have a clue of what anything is over 8.5-gig. I tried, just for the heck of it, installing on that, and it said it was my 20-gig was an 8.5. So. Western Digital provides a floppy, which allows you to install easy BIOS.
Right.
And now, the question is, I've got PowerQuest Drive Image 3. Now, what happens if I try to do a restore? Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to eventually take this 20 gig out of there and go back to the 6.5 gig and use the 20 gig in a new future computer as a second drive. What happens if, now the main operating system is installed on the 20 gig, it's partitioned into three partitions and the Windows 98's on the C drive. What happens if I make a drive image, which I have, and try to restore that to the C portion of my old 6.5 gig? Will Easy BIOS still be there, or be, don't need it?
No. Unfortunately, the stuff you've got there plays so many tricks that unless you install Easy BIOS by hand on the 6 gig,
it won't be there.
It won't be there.
And, well, I don't need it there anyway.
And unless you do that, you won't be able to read the 20 gig to get stuff off it.
Right. Well, what I will do is I've got the original 6.5 gig is partitioned into two partitions already, so anything I want, I can copy to that D drive portion. It's not called D. I don't remember what it's called. I can put that there. And then I would do a restore from my Western Digital C drive to the D drive, which is the first partition of the 6.5 gig, and then I would take the 20 gig right out of there and boot it and keep my fingers crossed. Would that work?
Well, it can hurt to try it, but I'm skeptical.
Yeah,
and better, off completely.
I've never tried it. In fact, I've been doing these backups as a protection, not having a clue if it would ever actually work because of the Easy BIOS.
Right.
But The other question I have is, if I take that ATA 6 hard drive, the 7200 RPM Western Digital 20 gig hard drive out of there, and put it in a new computer that's got a new faster C drive, and this is the slave drive, will that slow the ATA bus down?
No.
Yeah,
so I can have an ATC.
Not if he puts it on the second one.
If you put it as a slave, yes, the whole bus slows down. If you make it a master on the second bus, then only the second bus will be slow.
And it won't slow the...
I can put the CD writer to be there with it.
Well, you can have two things on the second bus line, which is recommended.
Right. So you know, leave the fast hard drive alone on the first bus.
You might have maybe a CD-ROM hooked up to that, and on the second one, your old hard drive and a burner.
Right.
And that music tells me we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Craig Scheller, me, Nick Fricko, and all of you on the world's greatest computer show, Soundbites, on 1180 WHAM.
Mission for 2002? Make the holiday soar with a motorized airplane defying gravity and ready to rendezvous with a classic truck. Only $19.99 at Hess stations, Energizer batteries included.
We're flying this year, the Hess truck's here.
The 2002 Hess truck and airplane, a heroic twosome built for adventure and heading straight to your Hess station. So fly into Hess, because supplies are limited. That's why Hess has set up a toy truck helpline. Call 1-800-HESS-OIL for the location of the Hess station nearest you with available supplies of this dynamic duo. That's 1-800-HESS-OIL. Or log on to our website at www.hesstoytruck.com.
We're flying this year, the Hess truck's here.
To all of you and your families, happy holidays from Hess.
Some of my best memories include those big Sunday gatherings at Grandma and Grandpa's house. We'd talk, we'd laugh, and oh, how we would eat. Sometimes it was breakfast, sometimes dinner, but always everything homemade, everything cooked fresh, and absolutely delicious.
This is Bruce Condemi, proud owner of the Spring House Restaurant. Of all the things we do well at the Spring House, our Sunday brunch is as good as it gets. At the Spring House, you'll always find fresh bacon, sausage, scrambled eggs, eggs benedict, fresh Danish pastries, and loads of fresh fruit. Depending on the day, you'll find pancakes, waffles, or French toast, roast turkey, tenderloin, or pork. And there's always fresh fish. All this and more every Sunday at the Spring House for just $12.95. We are absolutely convinced this Sunday brunch is the best value in town. So come enjoy it. If you don't agree, it's on us.
Sunday brunch at the Spring House. Make it a part of your family tradition. Call 586-2300.
You know those all-in-one tools? The ones you can use to saw a board, drill a hole, or even clean a fish? You know the way you can just use that one tool and do just about anything? If you do, then you get the general idea behind the new Subaru Baja. It's like an all-in-one vehicle. A comfortable car with room for four. A rugged all-wheel drive vehicle that can take on the roughest trails. And with the Subaru Switchback system, a versatile truck with a bed that extends to accommodate things like surfboards, bikes, and snowboards. It's more sport, more utility, more fun. When you get the Baja, you get a vehicle that can take you virtually anywhere and do virtually anything. Short of cleaning a fish, at least. Introducing the new one-of-a-kind all-wheel drive Subaru Baja. When you get it, you get it.
Sound Bites, driven by Bob Johnson Chevrolet.
This chicken from Boston Market is wonderful.
Thank you.
It's so nice to have dinner together as a family.
This isn't your family. These aren't your kids.
Excuse me.
You live next door, Fred. Your wife's name is Myrna.
I've been so darn busy. I haven't been home for a while.
Just like my husband, Jerry. Don't know when we'll see him.
Maybe I should call Myrna and let her know.
Hello?
I think I just found Jerry.
Remember, it's about dinner as a family. Now get a whole scrumptious rotisserie chicken, three regular sides, and three cornbread for just $8.99 plus tax. Limited time only. See store for details. Boston Market. Slow down.
It's Tough Guy Week on A&E's Biography, where we take an in-depth look at the lives of the original Tough Guy actors, as well as some of their greatest acting moments. The brooding anger of Telly Savalas. The tenderness of Robert Mitchum. Richard Widmark at his most introspective. The lighter side of John Wayne. And the romantic side of Charles Bronson.
Biography presents Tough Guy Week. Monday night, the Telly Savalas TVography. 8, 7 Central, only on A&E.
This week, it's the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs. Immediately following the game, turn to the most objective Bills coverage on the radio. It's the post-game show, Sunday at 4 on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Talk you can understand. It's Soundbites, America's longest running computer show on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Once again, here's Nick Francesco.
I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And
I am Craig Scheller.
And we are Soundbites.
All of you guys. A little slow on the uptake there. Sorry.
That's all right. He's having one of those days. We're going to go to Tony from Holly, New York. We've only got a few minutes left. Tony, what's your question?
Hi, how are you today?
Good, how are you?
Good. Whenever I try to send JPEG files via email to friends that I have that use AOL, they never seem to be able to open the attachments. If I send them to somebody else that has Roadrunner like I do, they don't have a problem.
How many are you sending them?
Just one or two at a time.
AOL is notorious for screwing up internet attachments.
Yeah.
It works best if you send one file at a time.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening is when you attach it, and this goes for any email, when you attach a file, it has to convert that file into text, because that's all email was designed to handle.
Mm-hmm.
So the mail program at the other end has to convert that text back into a file. AOL's not doing that. So what they're getting is a screen full of gobbledygook.
Mm-hmm.
What they need to do is save that text to the hard drive and then run it through a text decoder that can change that encoded text back into a real file. One of the biggest ones is Stuff It Expander from Aladdin at stuffit.com. I don't remember offhand if WinZip... Can WinZip do MIME and Base64 decoding?
I think the newer version
can.
The newer version, I think, can, yeah.
You need to find something that can do a MIME decode or a Base64 decode to turn that encoded text back into a real file. And it's training. They have to do at their end, and there's nothing much you can do at your end because it's the way AOL handles internet mail, because AOL isn't really an internet service.
Right, okay, so it's an additional piece of software they would have to put on their PC and learn to use then.
You got it.
All right.
Yeah, you can help minimize that by sending one file at a time, and AOL almost works with that.
Okay.
Okay.
We got about a minute and a half left for Martha from Warsaw.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a question about Windows XP,
yes.
Outlook Express 6. I have a dial-up. I can send mail with a text real easy, but if I send mail with an attachment, it takes 2 hours to get through.
For your machine to finish sending it or for the other end to receive it?
For the other end to receive it.
Oh, that's has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
Well, I keep getting a message. Mail server has not responded for 60 seconds.
Yeah,
Your end then, not the other end.
You may be able to change what is your email program?
Outlook Express.
I'm not sure where you change the timeout in that, but I'll have to look that up.
Okay, I can access that.
Okay, you need to make that longer.
Longer time.
Way longer.
Okay, and that'll shorten it?
That should do it.
Okay, how long could it be to?
Set it to 5 minutes.
Okay.
Go from there and use that as
a also try compressing the file before you're sending it.
Yeah, how big the file is.
We're done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Craig Schallert. I'm Nick Francesco. Bruce, I did send you an address for the Soundbites calendar. I don't know why you didn't get it. I'll send it to you again. We'll be back next week at the usual time, 12:20, for WHAM. Thanks and bye-bye.
Tired of constantly having your computer lock up on you? Have you experienced the infamous blue screen of death? Or is your computer just running too hot? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need FrozenCPU.com. FrozenCPU.com, a local internet-based company specializing in customized PC cases and products for cooling your overheated computers. FrozenCPU.com, considered by many the mecca for modified cases and cooling products. They have a huge selection of some of the premium cases available, ranging from Cooler Master and Li & Li to their famous Blizzard system, as well as cutting-edge coolants water-cooled cases. FrozenCPU.com cases start at only $99, including including a 350-watt power supply. In addition to being your case headquarters, FrozenCPU.com also specializes in cooling your overheated computer. They carry top-of-the-line heat sinks like Thermalright, Alpha, SwiftTech, and all the fans you could ask for. FrozenCPU.com, your case and cooling system headquarters. Call Frozen CPU at 1-877-243-8266.
The time to undercoat your...